Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me, Matt Stewart. Just letting you know that me and Saran, our show, has moved. We're at the Grace Darling Hotel now at 7:15. We're in the final couple of weeks of the festival. We'd love to see you there. We had so much fun at the Chinese Museum, but now we're at a new venue. It's a pub. Let's have a beer. I'd love to see you there.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates and popular culture from chimpan A to chimpan Z. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, is a thing I've never said before, and I'm joined, as always, by the official second banana of the show. It's the host of the gaming show called Gaming, 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 Game, Evan Munro-Smith.
Hello.
Thanks so much for taking out your bit of time from your big gaming schedule. You're probably like gaming on multiple devices.
We're on hiatus at the moment.
Oh, I see. So you just take a break from gaming. That's what you want. Like, some people might be disappointed to hear that, Evan.
Probably.
They want to believe that you game till you die. 24/7.
I'm still playing games. I just don't have to anymore.
Oh, right. Because you love it.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
Because I enjoy playing games.
Oh, that's so good. This week on the show, joining us back in the Monkey House for the very manyth time, it's, what do I call you guys? The best boys of Sans Pants Radio.
Best
it's
us.
Jackson Bailey and Adam Carnivale.
We have established that my surname must be said like that.
You need an Oprah intro or you'll walk.
I would like anyone listening today to riot if it is ever said in any other way.
Let me give it a try. Adam Carnivale. I can't do it.
It sneaks up on you.
Now, you two know probably better than anyone else that Evan's favorite primate is a human, in particular. Andy from Toy Story.
Sure.
You've been the closest to cracking the code to trying to beat Andy from Toy Story in Evan's estimations.
Yes.
Have you got any new thoughts on this?
I do.
Okay.
So I'm excited. I'm coming at it with... So, in my effort to try and distill what it is about Andy from Toy Story that makes you love him so much, I'm going to propose to you the clapping cymbals monkey that is monitoring the toys in Toy Story 3.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm. So I'm wondering if... Either maybe being a fictional monkey as Andy is a fictional boy, or being associated with Toy Story, maybe one of them is in some way important.
What? Come on.
Yeah.
Well, first up, I think it's important that Andy has a name. I'm not sure if the symbol monkey
might be his name.
Is that his name? It probably does have a name, but maybe it's not mentioned. I don't remember.
Is that the first? That's the first bit you've sort of given up yourself.
Oh,
he's got to have a name.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit of trivia for them. That's something to log, definitely. Yeah. Write it down in your Google Doc that I'm sure you have.
I feel like it's an untenable position that I'm in. It's not easy to defend against a barrage every week.
You're valiant, though. You're valiant in the way you do it.
So,
yes.
According to the Pixar Wiki, his name is Monkey. He is performed by Lee... Oh, why did I begin this? He's performed by Lee Unkrich, I believe that's pronounced.
Lee Unkrich, sure.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that monkey talking.
It might have screeched. Maybe that's what they're talking about.
It apparently chatters over the telephone.
Yeah, Lee Unkrich is a world-class chatterer. You need chattering in your film, call Lee.
I wonder if he did any other voices or if that's just...
That's him.
They got him on just for that role.
I wonder if this monkey counts, technically. Is it a primate or is it a toy?
Well, that's the question I pose.
I mean, we definitely said barrel of monkeys counted as a primate.
Okay, well, yeah, I just wanted to check. I just wanted to check.
Here's a quote in relation to the monkey from the film.
Okay.
From Chatter Telephone, warning Woody. He said... You can unlock the doors, sneak past guards, climb the wall, but if you don't take out that monkey, you ain't going nowhere. You want to get out of here? Get rid of that monkey.
Who says that?
The chattering telephone.
Oh.
I realize I must have made a mistake where I thought the chattering telephone was something that the monkey did.
That's how I interpret
it. Yeah.
No, I misunderstood. That is a quote from a character called
chattering telephone.
Of course, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
So wait, I need to go back and watch Toy Story 3. It's been, I think that's the one that I haven't watched recently.
It's also the most heavy in monkeys.
Yeah, and the least heavy in Andy from Toy Story.
That's why I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah.
This doesn't really interest me.
So that's a no?
I'm going to say no. Monkey certainly isn't as good a name as Andy.
Yes, that's true.
So that also rules out the sun
and
god.
I think Andy could also play cymbals.
That's true.
I think this is we've just uncovered a really, inadvertently.
Yeah.
We have uncovered
another breakthrough.
Well, I think he was trying to hide this information from us. Uh-huh. Apparently, name is very important.
Yes,
the quality of name.
Quality of name. Very important.
And Andy is up there.
Yeah. That's if we can find a monkey named Andy.
I mean, it's up there compared to monkey, which is arguably not a name. It's a
description.
I'm gonna write this down on the notepad that I've definitely been keeping all of my notes so far.
How about you, Jackson? Anything?
Okay. Well, I was thinking. So maybe following the track of trying to figure out why Andy specifically is ideal, I thought maybe it was a size thing. So I thought I'd pick Homo florensis, which is an early version of man or an early primate species, humanoid primate species, also known as the Hobbit. They lived on Florensis Island. They were very little. They hunted rabbits for food.
Oh.
Big fan, if you go back historically at our favorite primates, it would appear to be that the theme is you were like, Floridius pincus, a specific ape or chimp from this part of the world. And I'm like, a monkey I saw once in a video.
Floridius pincus. That sounds like it means the pink Floridian. classic monkey. Yeah. Homo forensis, when it was first discovered, the bones, the primatologist community or whatever were like, this isn't a real, this is fake, this is just a kid. But then after extensive research, it was discovered to just be little people with little brains. So
Homo forensis is an extinct species in the genus Homo. The remains of an individual who would have stood about 1.1 meter in height were discovered in 2003 at Liang Bua on the island of Flores in Indonesia. Partial skeletons of 9 individuals have been recovered, including one complete skull referred to as LB1.
Well, there you go.
Is this the one where, when it was first discovered, people were like, hobbits? Yeah,
that's the ticket. They were like, we found hobbits, but really they just found a little group of people. And they hunted big rabbits. So,
oh my god.
I know.
That's mad.
Why don't you fight a rabbit your own size?
We are.
We're trying.
Imagine riding the rabbit.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Imagine it, not ride it. I'm sure they were like, that would be cool. And we're a more appropriate height to do it. I like whenever I introduce one or I test one against Evan, he always looks it up.
He hits
well,
the box.
I mean, you need
it
to.
It deserves due consideration.
You need the facts. I get it. I'm with you.
That's why he's got an Encyclopedia Britannica bookshelf
exactly.
in here.
Exactly.
You're coming at him with like science monkeys. Yeah. I'm coming at him with pop culture monkeys. Yes.
Absolutely.
Coming at him from both angles.
Yes. Both possible monkey directions.
Yeah. As Jackson and I like to do.
Yeah, that's the perfect. That's pretty much what this show is.
Yeah.
Only does both of those poorly, but all the same, they're the two things we normally focus on.
We're going at it like with monkeys. I mean, with monkeys. Oh no, that's not better.
All right, Evan, or geez, the longer he takes to answer,
yeah,
the more confident I feel.
Yeah, me too.
Well, Andy was discovered well before 2003.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, so point of discovery is important.
I think this is a red herring. He's chucking a red herring at us because now
he's
scared.
Trying to throw us off the scent.
He's scared how close we came when we figured out naming is important.
I'm not saying that's a reason. It's just a fact. Interesting,
yeah,
consideration.
Sure. Andy was found sooner.
He was found sooner, but didn't exist sooner.
Yeah, that's true. These existed before Andy, long before Andy or any of us.
It's all true.
Yeah, if you'd given one of these a bedroom and a Woody doll. I mean, it's what's the difference, really?
Well, Andy will eventually grow up to become a normal human-sized human.
Mm-hmm.
Also, size matters.
Well, no,
so
but
what
maybe,
about a gorilla?
No, maybe I'm saying size doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's not like anything roughly at
human
the height
size.
Of Andy as a child.
Does it matter what age Andy is, or can we not ask?
That is ageism.
No, it doesn't matter.
So are you talking about potential? Variable. The fact that Andy could become anything.
He could be an astronaut.
No, I'm saying his height isn't effective because his height changes.
Okay, right. Sure.
I'm not saying my favorite character is Andy from Toy Story 2.
It's, yeah, okay.
Andy from Toy Story, which obviously he grows and
there's a lot of
changes
depth
in
and variation.
Size.
All right.
Okay.
What do you say about the Floriana?
What's the go here?
Too short.
Too short.
In its adult size, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Right. If it were too short as a child, that would be fine.
too short in its adult size.
Your
okay.
Ideal primate. So size matters.
Named?
Is it also important that as they grow older, the animation looks better on them? Is that important at all?
It's a consideration.
Something else to think about. Okay.
Is it important that early on all their friends look the same as them because the technology wasn't developed?
Do they need an enemy that is a child, an aggressive child that
with a skull t-shirt? Yeah. How specific are we here?
Do they need Randy Newman to compose a song for them?
Hey, these are
all things to think about for future episodes.
All right.
But today we're going to be talking about a very famous primate video. Maybe one of the most, even more famous than Toy Story 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, I mean, I'd never heard of this video, but...
Okay.
And I'm guessing you're going to assert that you have heard of Toy Story?
I have.
I bet he would say that. But today we're talking about the Patterson-Gimlin film.
Yes.
The most famous proof that Bigfoot exists.
And it's film.
Actual film from the 60s.
Yeah.
I actually did a full episode of Do Go On about this. So if people want to hear a more well-researched podcast about this, they can go to Do Go. I'll put a link in the description. But I'm going to read a little bit of that episode out. But Jackson, you are... Probably of everyone I know, you're the biggest expert in this field.
Thank you. I think that's true. I mean, I don't know everyone you know, but...
I don't know Patterson or Gimlin.
That's true.
Do you have a few of the other names for Bigfoot?
Sasquatch? Well...
Is Sasquatch... So this one... Because there's different ones, right, depending on where they're found. But this North American... in the Northwest, right?
Pacific Northwest, West typically. But there's also like a Bigfoot sighting in every single state of America. So,
really?
Look. And whether or not you believe that somehow this unidentified ape has like a distribution range that rats do.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably unlikely.
Every state. Like
every single state.
Including New York.
Yep.
Including Alaska.
Yep. Hawaii,
including
everywhere.
The District of Columbia.
I think every single maybe there might be every state by one, but I think it's every single state.
That's insanity.
An unidentified ape has been seen. Yeah,
that's. I mean, but the fact that some of those are clearly bogus doesn't does that necessarily rule out?
Nah, not necessarily. Well, I mean, you've got concentrated areas of sightings, so you know.
We'll put a link to the video so people can watch it. It's very short. It's less than a minute long, I think. But let me read out a little bit of this Do Go On report I did a little while ago. The film was shot in 1967, and it shows a big, muscular humanoid ape with large breasts casually walking upright through a forest clearing. The quality of the footage is a bit dicey, but it's pretty clear.
Evan's yeah, it's actually better. It's better than I expected it to be.
Yeah,
it's not like your classic like blurry.
Yeah, not a blurry kind of. You can see a being, whatever it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can actually make out some details on it.
Yes, the video is named for Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin, the men who shot the footage. Both Patterson and Gimlin had been amateur boxer and rodeo cowboys at the time.
It seemed in the 60s and before, you could do what you wanted, couldn't you? You could be a rodeo cowboy and they'd be like, do you want to just go over to the woods and find Bigfoot? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, but let's do some boxing first. Yeah. Evan, when I just earlier today told him what the episode was going to be about, he said, what's a Gimlin?
Well, it's a great question.
Because I've never heard that name before.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, I don't think that's I have.
It's a great name, but it sounds made up.
It does. And also, it said it was. The thing that I was looking at said it was shot by, was it Roger Patterson? Is that the guy's name?
Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin.
Yeah, right. I didn't see the Bob Gimlin name.
Oh, right.
Bob Gimlin.
I thought it was shot by
name.
One person. I didn't realize it was shot by two people.
Not people. Rodeo cowboy boxers.
Right.
They're more than just people.
But maybe.
Making the transition from rodeo cowboy to boxer doesn't seem as smooth on like second thinking about it.
Which way do you think is easier? Yeah. Going from boxer to rodeo cowboy or rodeo cowboy to boxer?
You gotta be light on your feet to be a boxer, right? You need to be able to probably
dodge and weave.
Dodge and weave.
Well, and then you think, well, a bull, I've got to be able to dodge and weave out of the way of that.
Yeah, I guess once you fall off, that's when the boxing skills really come in.
Yeah, I reckon going from rodeo clown to boxer is easier because there's less pressure.
Right,
you know, a person you're boxing against might stop if you fall over.
If you're like, I'm dying. A bull will kill you. That's very true.
It does explain why it's shaky footage, though. It's shot not by one, but two rodeo boxers on horseback.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It does.
That's not Steadicam material.
Yeah, they've got the big red gloves. It's hard to kill the camera.
Multiple concussions at all times.
There's plenty of conjecture about the film's authenticity, and even Patterson and Gimlin's stories of what happened that day have some variance. But here's how the story goes. On Friday, the 20th of October, 1967, Patterson and Gimlin were searching for Bigfoot on horseback around Bluff Creek.
So actually out looking for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
There's
stumble across him.
A journal of, I think it's Patterson, where he details what he wants to find. And coincidentally, his drawing of the Sasquatch is remarkably similar to the Sasquatch they've seen. I'll see if I can get a picture of it.
This is what I want to find. Yeah. So he's used the secret to wish it into existence.
He secreted Sasquatch in front of him.
When they rounded a corner, they saw the hairy figure. Patterson dismounted and ran towards the beast before pulling out the video camera and shooting the famous footage. So he dismounted, but I guess he was running in sort of rough terrain.
Bit puffed.
Yeah.
So at first it's shaky, but the middle section of the film is clearest and includes the most famous shot in Bigfoot history, where the man beast turns its head to look at the camera over its right shoulder as it continues to walk away. That is frame 352, the most famous frame of the film.
It's so good. I love the fact that the Sasquatch gives a little peep back. It's like, all right, keeps going.
Sort of flopping its arms side by side. Yeah. So good.
Whatever.
Very casual.
I don't care. Woo, just some horses. What ups?
I feel, ideal. And there's probably a video version of this that exists, but as it turns around, there's a pause and crash zoom on its face and like a glint in its eye. That should exist if it doesn't
already.
It should.
Someone should make that.
On YouTube, people would argue about this frame in the comments, some saying that the look proves it's real. If you were a man in a suit, why would you look towards the camera? Clearly, it's real.
Well, I mean, like, it's great. It's interesting because I feel like if I was filming it and I had a guy set up to do it and he looked at the camera, I'd be like, cut. Do it again because don't look at us.
Don't eyeball the camera. Evan, you make your living out of directing film. If one of your actors barrels the camera. Do you go again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think the proof is pretty conclusive.
But these were boxer rodeo clowns, not boxer rodeo. Oh, sorry, not rodeo. Sorry. Boxer, what was it?
They're rodeo riot cowboys.
Boxer rodeo cowboy directors.
Yeah.
Which, all right, I've modeled this on something fierce.
They didn't know what they were doing with the camera.
They did not have a third job that was also directing. The comedy there. I'm so
you're
sorry.
Imagining Patterson looking at Gimlin and being like, good that we got them looking at us so we get the face.
Maybe Gimlin's they even like, directed that. Could you look at us?
Gimlin's like, oh, I just wish he had his hands a little high, you know, to defend blows coming in from either
side. It's so sad that the Patterson Gimlin footage isn't them fighting the Bigfoot. They were like, we'll make millions being the men who fought Bigfoot.
Isn't there something as well? I remember you telling me, Jack, because you obviously love a Bigfoot tale.
I do.
I know quite a bit about this, but isn't there also something where they were like, they'd gone on a big expedition to try and find something, they hadn't found anything, and they were on their way back.
Yeah, it was their last day of possibly seeing something. Mm. They'd gone on a big expedition, they'd spoken to a whole bunch of people, a bunch of old-timers in the area that had their own Sasquatch stories, and this was their last day of shooting, and lo and behold, they find the Bigfoot.
So... Oh, is there some... Do some people think that maybe because they were telling everyone, maybe they believe it to be real, but someone faked it?
Well, yeah. So I know that there's an interview with Gimlin Gimlin, where Gimlin, his whole life was like, it's real. But there was an interview in like 2016 where he's like, look, you know, I'm like an 80-year-old man. He's like, look, someone could have tricked me.
Yeah.
I believe it's real.
Yeah, but they
didn't do anything, but someone could have fooled me.
Right.
So that's one theory.
Don't you think that's a roll of the dice? To pretend to be a beast
with
two cowboys on horseback?
Absolutely.
I assume they were packing heat.
Yeah, if somebody's like, these two cowboy boxers are gonna... the chances of getting shot, you're right, are so high.
You'd want that fake suit to be bulletproof.
Yeah.
If
absolutely.
It was wearing a bulletproof vest, I'd start to have my doubts.
Yeah, that's fair.
So not long after, turns to look at the camera, keeps walking, and Bigfoot disappears out of view. Following the sighting, the pair continued to track Patty. Do you know? Mm-hmm. You know? No, that's what they apparently is.
Patty.
They call her now.
Oh, okay.
Until the terrain made it too difficult, they then made plaster casts of some of the footprints. There were some inconsistencies between their stories, as I mentioned before. For instance, Patterson said the Bigfoot was between 6.5 and 7 feet tall, whereas Gimlin said 6 foot flat.
Mm.
Doesn't sound like a lot.
Yeah, that's not a massive discrepancy.
And again, some people, the believers, sometimes use this discrepancy as proof. They're like, if they'd made up the story together,
yeah,
surely they
would have gotten
the height closer than that.
And I can kind of imagine, you know, you're seeing it at a distance. You know, people when they're like scared see things as bigger as well.
I'd have no idea between a Bigfoot in like 50 meters away whether it was 6 or 7 foot. No idea.
I can't gauge height now. If you asked all of you here in this room to tell me, for me to tell you,
you just said
tall.
You don't even know how tall you are.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I think I'm 5 something. I'm over 5 foot, definitely. Okay.
It would be very funny because I know you were saying that things seem bigger, you know, when you're scared or something like that. It would be very funny to find out that, was it Gimlin who was 6 foot flat?
Yeah.
Yes.
It would be funny to find out that Gimlin was the shorter of the two. So he's like, it was massive. It was 6 foot exact.
It was huge.
Whereas Patterson, who is himself taller or
it's
whatever,
like 4 foot. Yeah. Like he's tiny.
I was looking down on him.
Yeah. I'm also excited to as we continue through, to every single thing, whether it is a consistency or an inconsistency, for people to be, apparently to say that means that it's real.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Because if it's consistent, they're like... Well, I mean, they both saw the same thing.
Yeah.
If it's inconsistent, they're like, well, of course they're not going to say they saw the same thing.
Those sort of things. It's great. When people just want to believe something or naturally cynical, it takes a lot to switch you one way or the other.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're the ones I want to hear from. I want to hear from the people who like, and you occasionally get those. The full believers are sometimes beginners, cynics.
Yeah,
and
that's what you want.
Once you turn them, then they're like, well, if I believe it, then I've got to dedicate my life to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it seems stupid, but I believe
but
it.
But I'm here. It happened. I believe it happened. I got to do something about it.
So some say that proves that it was real. Others say it helps prove that it's a hoax, obviously. Because surely if it was real, they wouldn't be telling two stories with such varying details.
A foot is quite a big difference.
It's a big difference, yeah. The timeline in the pair's story has also come under scrutiny from skeptics, with some saying the things they said happened that day could not possibly have all fit into their timeline. There are plenty of naysayers about the video because it's almost definitely not true, I guess. See, I fit in the cynics category.
Yeah.
If I start believing, I love this sort of stuff. I'd love to believe it, but I'm just naturally one of those annoying.
You're like, no.
It's always like someone will excitedly tell me about a wild video they've seen online. I'm like, oh, that sounds made up. Sounds fake.
Probably fake.
All the joy is gone from my life. Every viral video, an eagle just got a snake and it dropped on a barbecue. I'm like, that, that is almost definitely not.
It's almost because
real.
Something like that, to believe it is almost a bit too much.
Yeah,
like,
that's
if I
right.
believe
yeah.
that, that's so, I don't know.
It opens the door to so many other things.
Yeah, like imagine full on, no question, believing in ghosts.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've all in our life been mildly scared a ghost could be somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're never really committed to the idea that a ghost is real.
Yeah.
But if you were fully committed, that's a wild way to live.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of cool because it means you believe
the world's
definitely an
so
afterlife and anything's
you.
Possible.
Yeah.
But, I reckon those videos nearly always turn out to be car ads or something.
Oh,
like.
Yeah.
There's some sort of a, what do you call those marketing campaigns?
Yeah, like a viral marketing thing. Yeah. Yeah.
They've ruined everything for me. Car companies. The one thing that skeptics will often mention is when they talk about the fact that Bigfoot doesn't exist.
Sure.
But then what they say is if he's real, why has no one ever found bones or a body?
Yeah.
Because
they're immortal.
That is something some people say,
yeah,
right?
It's an unfortunate subsection. There are like three kinds of Bigfoot believers. There are the people who are like, I am a zoologist who is just investigating the possibility. There are people who are like, I want to hunt it. Like, that's all it's about. It's not like...
I want to be the one.
I want to be the guy that catches it.
Bags of Bigfoot.
Yeah, pretty much. And they're the people that have like weird roadside stands where they're like, talk to me about the skunk ape. And they just tool around the Floridian swamps and they're... big, what do you call those airboats with a gun looking for it? And then you get the people that are like, Sasquatch is a psychic projection from another dimension.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's, look, that category, talking about deciding to believe in something.
Yeah.
That's a lot in one go.
That's a lot of things to believe in.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's one particular, yeah. So the idea
immortal,
that...
What are other... Because they say they just bury their bones.
Yeah, some people say they bury their bones. Some people say it's even...
You can't bury your own bones.
They know when they know they're going to die, they dig a big hole.
They're quick.
They dig a hole, they get in the hole.
Bury themselves.
They have some sort of a pulley system that dumps dirt on top of them.
The pulley system collapses. Itself after it's used.
I think you're assuming that they're solo creatures.
Yeah, you're assuming it's one Bigfoot.
Mm. Yeah, well, I feel like they're not. The place isn't teeming with them, is it?
Well, the idea is, I suppose, that there's a small. I think it's something going to be like a population of 1,000, maybe 2,000, for it to be like a sustainable breeding population without inbreeding happening.
Right.
So I guess the idea is that there is a small relic population of mystery apes, napes, as I've said on this show before,
napes.
North American apes, living somewhere in the Pacific Northwest and eking out an existence. So I guess the idea is that one of them dies and they bury its bones, the rest of the crew.
Or, my theory, their bones look identical to a deer's.
And you take the skin off.
Why a deer? It's a deer. Surely a bear or something that's sort of good.
Identical to a big snipe.
I think we just can't capture it on film, but they have antlers.
The antlers are so thin, they can't be picked up by the footage.
Well, that's because the projection's not strong enough from the other dimension.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think another thing people point out is that it's rare to find bear bones as well. Like,
okay.
When an animal dies in the forest, it gets pretty taken apart pretty quickly. So some people are like, well, look, if they're burying their dead, that's one explanation. Maybe there's just so few of them that... it's just very, you know, like it's already, you're in a hard position to find a corpse. So, And then there are reports of people finding Bigfoot corpses and Bigfoot skeletons and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where are those?
Well, there's a lot of people that are like, they find it hunting, but it's so huge that they can't take it back. And then they return and it's gone, is how the story tends
and
to
they
go.
Don't have, well, they have photos and they're a bit blurry.
Yeah, and there's a weird thing you find when you start looking into Fortean phenomena.
I know what that means.
Fortean comes from Charles Fort, who was an early investigator of mysteries.
Yeah, I know what that means.
Oh, okay, well, excuse me for even trying to explain.
This is hanging out with Jackson 24/7. This is what it's like.
So there's so many stories where they're like, we found a mysterious crystal skull with these powers, or the Sasquatch of the skeleton of a Sasquatch, or we found like a skin of a mystery like tiger or whatever, and we shipped them to the museum and they never got there. That story comes up so often, right, that there's like a large conspiracy that the museums are hiding evidence of these 14 phenomena. They're like, that there's a shady, what's the big museum in America? The
Museum of Natural History?
Yeah, maybe. Is it the Museum of Natural History is trying
is
to...
Is it the Louvre?
Yeah, the Louvre. The Louvre is suppressing information.
There's a few things wrong with what you said there, Matt. I don't know where to begin.
How do you feel about me? I'm in Louvre.
I remember...
the city of Louvre. That's where it comes from.
I remember once as a couple of years ago, maybe 5 years ago, my parents got tickets to this scientist, in quotation marks, who was giving a talk about, I guess, lost civilizations in Australia. And so normally my mom, who is maybe a little more interested in this stuff than my dad, she was going to go, but then she couldn't go because she was sick and my dad had to go. And he was like, Jackson, do you want the other ticket? And I was like, yes, let's see what this is. That man was insane. Yeah. He had a table full of rocks and he's like, these rocks are magic. Don't touch the rocks. Only I can touch the rocks. I've had somebody touch the rocks and faint once because of their power. Right. He had this strange belief that all Indigenous Australians were wizards and that they possessed magical powers. He did a strange thing where he's like, this rock is so magic. Let me show you a magic trick. So he got a lady in the audience to write down her name on a card. And then he's like, I'm going to use this rock to guess the name. And then he held the name and guessed it wrong. And then he was like, doesn't always work, which is amazing because that means it wasn't like a sleight of hand. There was actually no magicianry involved.
He believes it.
He thinks it works. What else did he say? But he opened his thing by talking about how the Melbourne Museum is trying to suppress his research and his studies into the lost civilizations of Australia. And I just can't imagine that Melbourne Museum is at all interested.
Well, I think what's happened there is they're like, thank you for your letter, but honestly, do you mind just not coming around here anymore?
Because I think he opened it, he's like, I know you're wondering why you're coming to a scientific talk in like a scout hall or wherever we are. Well, I'll tell you why. And he was there with his son and they did the talk together. It was truly, all of his evidence that the secret civilizations in Australia were rocks that were a bit square. And he's like, I've been there. That's from a house. Everyone was like, oh. There was one Indigenous guy in the audience and he left in the first 5 minutes. It was a time.
Yeah. Oh, so when this is like in the 90s or the...
No, this was like 5 years ago went. Yeah.
It's got the vibe of a different time.
It sure does, doesn't it? It was not from
it's a
different time.
Wow.
anyway,
last little bit from that Dugo on reporter wrote, it talks about if people want to hear the whole thing, it's like an hour and a half or something, and I'll put a link to it. But one of the things that I found back then that excites a lot of the true believers about the Patterson Gimley film is they say that the walk is unlike any human would. Could walk.
I think the idea is that the arms are too long and that either the thighs or the calf is like too long and makes the gait different or something.
According to an article published for the Oregon Public Broadcaster, the professor of anatomy and anthropology at Idaho State University, Jeffrey Meldrum, He's one of the few academics to openly study Sasquatch.
What a fucking gem.
And he's a believer, saying, it's all so easy to say, obviously that's a man in a fursuit, until you you see it up against a man in a fursuit. And he says, when you do that, they are entirely
Yeah, well,
different.
It's one of the things where nobody's ever really been able to convincingly recreate it. And there have been heaps of attempts. Yeah. But every time you look at one, you're like, oh, yeah, that's just a guy. That's obviously just a guy. It looks very different from the Patterson-Gimlin ones. So
it makes it fascinating. He gets his students to study this video and try and figure out how it's even possible.
Yeah, well, some people theorize that it was like weird lengthening done to the suit and like weird padding in the right place. But yeah, a lot of people are like, well, we're just like, I'm not, look, I sound like a believer, I'm sure. But
and
I just
you
like
have
to
describe yourself as a believer.
I think I just like to sit in the middle of like, I'm not convinced either way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm a cynic, but I can't straight away say how what's going on here, you know. I don't really have a theory for I suppose it could be a guy in a suit, or it could be, I don't know. It doesn't look like a guy in a suit, really.
No, it doesn't. And the other thing that Meldrum talks about is that remembering that it's from 1967, he's like, at that point, or 2 years after that, in 1969, Planet of the Apes won the...
That's what I'm always talking about.
The best costume design, or they were nominated for best costume design at the Oscars.
Yeah.
And he's like, compare those suits, the best, apparently edge of
Hollywood,
look like shit compared to the Patterson-Gimli film.
And everybody says, this is an argument I've had, not an argument, but a rant I've had twice in the last, like, 3 days. Everybody says that the moon landing couldn't be faked because it would cost more money to create an accurate hoax than what they were capable of doing just then, that we didn't have the technology to make a film that looked that good. But when you bring up that as evidence that the Patterson-Gimlin footage is genuine, everybody's like, what are you talking about? When you're right, you look at the Planet of the Apes, they sucked. Those costumes were garbage.
They were great for the time, but you kept, like, looking at them now, they look silly.
One of the Planet of the Apes apes was in the Patterson-Gimlin footage, you would immediately know it was fake.
Ah, it's Dr. Zayas.
Well, that brings up a question that I wanted to ask, because I watched, just before we started recording, I watched a couple different versions of the footage, and I watched, I think, the original version, like, without any editing done or whatever, and it's very shaky and it's very difficult to really make out any details or anything like that. And in that footage, kind of anything could go, because it's hard to tell what's going on. But then you can see people who have done stabilized versions of the image and stuff like that. And in stabilized versions of the image, it looks like way smoother and stuff like that. So I was just wondering if when they digitalize it and when they touch it up, or not touch it up, but when they
don't
like stabilize
touch up Bigfoot.
It. Yeah, don't
he doesn't like that.
But do they, in those videos, are they adding detail?
I don't know how stabilizing film works.
Yeah,
I had a brief gander, and it seemed like something you could just do in Photoshop.
It feels like you're in the right room, because I reckon Evan would know all about this.
Well, I think in most cases they're just going frame by frame and lining up the position of the.
Really? So it would be pretty much done manually, would it?
Yeah.
So no.
Probably. I mean, there's automatic ways of doing it, but this looks like it's probably been done manually.
Yeah. Right.
So would they change anything about the way, other than obviously less shuddering, but would they change anything about the way that it looks when they do that?
Well, I don't think so. But I think that the other problem that you have here is that, like, I don't know what the original source is. So obviously the original source is film.
Yeah.
But I think I read quickly somewhere that the film has been lost. Like the original film doesn't exist anymore.
They sent it to the Museum of Natural History.
Yeah, they stole it away.
We
can't learn about Bigfoot for reasons that are unclear.
So what we have is a scan. I don't know when it was scanned or how, but it's been digitized in some way. And then that's been uploaded to the internet, I guess, and then people are downloading that and then uploading their own version and then people are downloading that and then uploading it. So there's that sort of every time you go through that, and depending on the software they're using, they might be adding sharpening or noise reduction or all these things that start to make it a bit like, oh, this is, you're getting artifacts or mushiness.
Right.
You know, you try to enhance details and you end up just sort of enhancing artifacts and
stuff. Is there Evan, is there the technology yet where you can say enhance at a blurry video and it will?
When are we going to get that?
Zoom in and fix focus. It.
Yeah. It's definitely getting better. Oh. I don't know about the voice activation of saying enhance, but there's a lot of great work going on with machine learning. But that is using AI and changing the way it is, kind of the computer making up details.
Mm.
Which, you know, can work really well, but that's what it's doing. It's
filling in the blanks.
Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes it's like Google with their Pixel phones, or, you know, other companies, Huawei, I think, do it the same way, where you can zoom in way more than you would normally be able to with a mobile phone. It's doing a digital zoom, but it gives you much more clarity than a regular, like, just blowing up a picture.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because it's looking at, you know, it might be looking at like a dozen frames, a dozen different photos, and coming up with an average
approximation.
So it can plot the details from each of those. So it's like it is a fabrication. It's a computer generated sort of thing, but it's pulling details from reality.
Mm.
But then there's other things that are like they're just looking at one image and guessing what the details are, and that's obviously a bit more dicey.
Yeah,
because it's kind of like when I use a running app sometimes, and if it goes offline and comes back online,
yeah.
when I've run around a track that's curved, it'll just draw a straight line.
Yeah. See, like,
is it like that?
Yeah. I mean, if you applied, you know, AI or machine learning to that, it could look at other people who have run that road and gone, well, you probably did that, what everyone else did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's still not necessarily a true it doesn't know that's what you did.
That way I can run a straight line and pretend that I've run further.
Well, sure.
Trick the app.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't think, I mean, you know, in the video that I'm watching here, like there are artifacts, they've tried to enhance stuff, but it's,
yeah
I don't know.
There's a lot of, I don't know if you've looked on the Wikipedia page, there's analyses that are in favor of the film being real, and then there are analyses in the opposite direction of the film being fake. There's a lot of people have gone through, and it's always about like, oh, the weight of it is not something that a human could replicate, or that right. And there was, where was I? Was it Glickman?
Great.
Glickman.
No, it was Jeffrey Meldrum. Oh, that's one you were just talking about. But he was one of the people who was not a believer.
Then
he became a believer.
Right.
Because he looked at still images and was like, well, that's fake. And then he looked at the full video and was like, actually, there's musculature there. Same with D.W. Greve. Oh, he talks about how you can see musculature in the arse of the Sasquatch in the image.
It's thick.
Where it would be, it's thick as hell, where it would be appropriate.
Bigfoot thick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're sort of like, how is this possible? Two rodeo cowboys with no expertise in costume design. How could they have put this together?
Could it be a gorilla, or are there definite problems with that?
I think gorillas don't walk upright like
no,
that.
No other ape does.
Right.
Aside from Bigfoot.
So there's nothing that in known existence that is close to this.
I think that's what they've said, that this is, it's just nothing walks like that, especially not humans.
Yeah.
And especially not deer, Adam, if that's what you're thinking.
I'm just saying maybe it has the bones of a deer.
I remember reading something that it also had something to do with the speed of the film. So if the film is shot at a certain rate, then a human could conceivably do that. But if it's shot at another rate, then it's physically impossible. I don't know much more than that, but I've read that somewhere.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
Which is interesting as well. And interesting that we don't have the original footage. So we just don't know.
In a different speed.
Yeah, and that it seemed like it was something that, but that's just one argument against it. Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah, because film back in the day, I mean, I don't have any experience, or much experience with film cameras, certainly not those older style film cameras. I guess it's probably 8mm or something. I think that it's not super consistent in speed.
Yeah.
Or, because like, I don't know, just thinking back to watching old film of like, yeah, like old 8mm film, it's pretty common for things to sort of be sped up. Like Charlie Chaplin and they're like those,
yeah.
those sorts
yeah,
of things. Yeah, yeah. Like they're not played back. They don't have sound. So they're not sort of, you know, accurately synchronized
trying to sync,
like that.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, apparently D.W. Grieve, he says, the possibility of fakery is ruled out if the speed of the film is 16 or 18 frames per second. In these conditions, a normal human being could not duplicate the observed pattern, which would suggest that the Sasquatch must possess a very different locomotor system
that
to
Sasquatch
that of a man.
Was packing.
If filmed at a higher speed, Grieve concluded that the creature walked with a gait pattern very similar in most respects to a man walking at high speed.
So it might have been man in a suit walking fast, slowed down.
Yeah, possibly.
That's interesting. Yeah, right.
But that's only about the gait. You know, people also say that the arms are long and you can see the arse and that the head goes right into the back.
You can't see the arse.
You can see the arse.
Oh, you can see. That's one of the few man-made structures you can see from the moon.
Once again, though, is that something that someone's digitally... Has someone added an arse since it was recorded? All I'm saying.
Look, you've also got a whole bunch of people claiming to have made it. I don't know if you've got information on that.
There's a guy who came out and said he was the man in the suit.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Hieronymus?
I think there's actually been a few who've come forward and admitted it. But, you know, that I found that on a bunch of different things I've researched for other podcasts, for Dugan and stuff, that when there's a big famous crime, so many people want to be the guilty party for some reason, which seems bizarre, even for murders
attention. And what that weird fame. Well, I've got here on Wikipedia, Philip Morris was like, I made the costume.
The cigarette company? Oh, man.
it was a viral video.
If you look really closely, when he turns around, you can see that he takes a quick puff of the cigarette.
And he says, ooh, smooth.
According to Morris, he sold the ape suit to Patterson via mail order in 1967, and he thought that Patterson was going to use it in a prank, and that's why he was happy to give it to
him. Maybe he did.
Like the idea that he was just mailing out state-of-the-art costumes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mailed out a few to Hollywood,
one to
a cowboy in Idaho or somewhere.
It could be something to do with, like, I don't know. I'm just throwing ideas, speculating. But it could be that maybe the Planet of the Apes costumes were not, like, made of animal fur, and this costume was made of animal fur.
Well, Bob Hieronymus, who says that he's the fella in the suit.
Yes, he's the one I heard about as well, yep.
I think he claims that the suit, because there's discrepancies between what Philip Morris said the suit looked like and what Bob Hieronymus said the suit looked like.
Bob Hieronymus, what a name.
Oh, it's incredible. Hieronymus.
Hieronymus.
Why does he not just go by that?
Yeah.
Get rid of the first name. It's dead weight. But he says the suit was made of interestingly, a skinned deer. And that it stunk to high heaven when he wore it.
And did he say anything about having to replicate the way a deer skeleton would look?
In his body, he has replicated a deer's skeleton so that when he moves, it looks normal.
Are there any pictures of Hieronymus, of his build?
As a guy?
And how he walks?
Let's Google Bob
how
Hieronymus.
How long his arms are.
Let's Google if there's like a Bob Hieronymus walking compilation.
How many Bob Hieronymuses could there be?
Can we get the walk cycle for Bob Hieronymus, please?
While you're finding that, I've got this article from the Huffington Post from a couple of years ago titled, Filmmaker Says Bigfoot Ruined His Life.
Oh, no.
And this is about Bob Gilman, Gimlin, even. He's the Gimlin.
Yeah,
as in the only one who's ever existed.
Yeah. So he did end up being a director.
Whoa. Oh. It happened.
So this is about 50 years after the video was taken. He's talking about it in 2016. He says he wishes he never left his home in Oregon to go searching for Bigfoot with Patterson. The film, less than a minute, caused years of grief for Gimlin, who felt Patterson edged him out of the three-way deal they shared with Patterson's brother-in-law to exploit the film. Talk about this more in the Dugan as well. Gimlin also had to deal with ridicule from his friends and neighbors in Yakima, Washington. Quote, They'd come driving in my driveway all times of the night and go, "Bob, we want to go Bigfoot hunting," told Outside Magazine. Gimlin was torn. If he acknowledged he believed in Bigfoot, he was the town loon, while people assumed he was lying if he stayed quiet. "I can understand why they don't believe in it, because I didn't believe in it either," Gimlin recalls telling one interviewer. "But I saw one, and I know what I saw, and I know it wasn't a man in a suit. It couldn't have been." Although many researchers believe the creature in the film is just a man in an animal suit, the Patterson-Gimlin film has never been completely debunked. According to Animal Planet star Matt Moneymaker,
the most reputable of sources,
he's the founder and president of the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization.
Oh, wow.
And this is what he said. "Contrary to what many people assume, the footage has never been proved to be a hoax. And every scientific examination and analysis of the footage has either fallen into the category of inconclusive or demonstrating something that can't be explained by 1967 technology. Many imposters have claimed to be the man in the costume, and all of them have been debunked by people who were there."
Do you want to see? I just found an image of when, in 1998, the BBC, with a show that they had called X Creatures, tried to recreate it.
Yes.
This is the ape they picked. Why?
That's a suit, is it?
This is a suit.
Okay.
I'm not looking
at the real Bigfoot.
And that's a comparison image between the Patterson-Gimlin footage.
I mean, they're reasonably...
I don't know. The arms of the Bigfoot are huge compared to the arms of the BBC's Bigfoot.
Is it possible that the suit has arm extensions?
Yeah, that's why.
We talked about that, yeah.
Yeah. Can you make arm extensions look normal? Where's the...
Right.
You said that, like, classic. Right. Can you do it? Who knows?
But that's the interesting thing, because reading about this, I'd be like... Yeah, humans can walk in any way. How is it possible that someone's walked in a way that a human can't walk?
So yeah.
It's sort of blown my mind that people are like, scientifically not possible for a human to walk like that.
I guess I'm not an expert, so I don't feel...
Okay, well, yeah.
why are you here? Yeah.
I know, I did bill myself as a walking expert. I'm not an expert, so I don't feel like I can, you know, say that these people are wrong, but it just feels... It feels so much like... No, I could walk like that if I wanted to.
Yeah, I know. You're like, what part of it is special? It just seems like a walk, like a pretty casual walk, especially in the slowed down one, like the stabilized one. Did you look at the stabilized one? Yeah.
This looks like a guy walking. It doesn't seem like there's anything unusual about the way this guy's walking.
Yeah. It just seems like, I don't know, he's just going for a stroll.
Yeah.
But
that's the arm swinging, which is it. But it's just like a lanky armed man swinging. That's like kind of how I walk.
Yeah, in many ways, you've got the Patterson-Gimlin stroll.
We're going to test this out.
Yeah, I don't know. The gait doesn't seem that different. The look back. Wow, the look back's so good.
I'd love... Evan, if we ever have time, which we never will for something so frivolous, but we got to make a version of this where when he turns around, he's Andy from Toy Story.
I reckon it could be extended arms based on where the elbow bend is. Oh, yeah. Becoming a Bigfoot debunker now.
Yeah, no.
Does he do much bending?
Well,
of
let's
elbows?
Look at let's look. This is
no,
the,
not really. And this his is hands a close don't, up. Hands don't seem.
Yeah,
to
Yeah, I'm trying
move.
To see if the hands swing that much. If there's any specific finger movement or anything.
It does look like they're heavy.
Like there's a bit of weighted. Weight to them. Yeah.
Which is just maybe because it's just a swole big old Bigfoot.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell where the legs are as well. The way that she turns... No, the head moves independently. Oh, it's so hard to tell. It's so hard to tell.
I really like... I like the theory that someone was tricking them.
Well, I know Gimlin has a theory that Patterson was tricking him. So that
he left mysteriously right before the Bigfoot came up. And then when I ran into the forest, I met him and he was like, "Yeah, I did see the Bigfoot. Let's go get it together."
And he was still wearing Bigfoot pants.
I know, Patterson looking down and he's still got the feet on. Head that way, Gimlin.
Oh, these are my slippers. These are my Bigfoot slippers.
Well, yeah, I think I was reading somewhere that like one of the guys in town who claimed that he dressed up in the costume was that he felt sorry for Patterson. person, because he was like, oh, the guy came here, he wanted to find a Bigfoot.
Just quickly whipped up a movie quality outfit.
Yeah, I'll just real quick get that going and then head in. I wish I could. I think one of the biggest like red flag for me as to it being fake is that in his journal he drew, I'm going to try and find it, but he drew basically exactly the Sasquatch he saw.
Right.
Which is very on the nose for like,
yeah.
I can't remember what kind of knowledge they had before going there.
There must have been other sightings. Obviously, they knew that it was something, it existed, or, you know, at least it had been sighted or whatever.
Before that time, Jackson was because I imagine since then that's kind of become the iconic look of the Bigfoot. But before then, did people describe it differently?
No, not really. It's not like, so aliens, it's always interesting. You can find online a timeline of what aliens looked like over like the decades.
Yeah.
And you watch as they slowly homogenize into like the gray alien we know and love today. But like back in the day, it would be like three-legged goo man, dogs with magic rods, frog people, and then just gradually it solidified into gray alien.
Right.
But Sasquatch is always reported as pretty much Sasquatch, except in the 1800s where there's heaps of gorilla sightings. And that's because the gorilla had only recently been discovered, so it was everybody's frame of reference for. There's a classic one where it was like an early train going through like Wild West America, and the report is like, train had to stop, gorilla on tracks. And people are like, that's either, I guess, an escaped gorilla in the Wild West, also great, or Sasquatch on the train.
Wait, when were gorillas discovered?
Gorillas were discovered so recently, comparatively.
Does that mean we knew about kangaroos before we knew about gorillas?
I suppose we would have, yeah.
That's insane.
The gorilla was discovered in 1902.
1902?
Yeah.
Wow. We absolutely knew about kangaroos before then.
And look, you know, back in the day, people were like, there's a race of people up in the mountains, giant ape men, and everyone was like, shut your mouth. Gorilla, just saying.
Right. Interesting. That is so recent. So obviously that's the West. It was like humans knew about them before 1902, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yes, people were aware of it.
How many discoveries have we made after the invention of the cell phone camera?
Do you mean of animals?
Yeah.
There was those awesome, which I've brought up on the show before, those apes that have no nose. They just got a hole.
Yes.
They were discovered.
Oh, yeah.
There was the occipi. That's a classic.
Occipi.
Yeah.
Too right.
It's the symbol for this creature. This was discovered after the invention of the camera.
Oh, yes. There. Yeah.
And this, again, people
like
were like...
horse crossed with zebra?
Yeah, with sort of long giraffe legs almost.
And it was another thing that people were like, this exists. And everyone was like, no, it doesn't. And then they found it and they were like, oh, I guess it does.
When was that?
That would have been...
Because that does make... Those kind of discoveries make anything feel more possible, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that anything is more possible. Important to remember.
When was the occipi discovered?
X equals true does not mean Y equals true.
Well. It was discoved in 1901 as well.
Oh, big year.
In the Congo. Yeah, big year for discoveries. The coelacanth. You know the coelacanth?
No.
You don't know the coelacanth?
I was thinking can of cola.
I thought you were going to say the occipi was, if it was discovered in the last 10 years. I want all the ones that are discovered these days are normally like a worm or something.
Yeah, some slight variation on it.
Yeah.
I know there was something discovered. There was a kind of big cat discovered recently as well, but where was it? New mammals.
Jim, he was just a big tabby.
Yeah.
Got fed too much.
We found the olinguito. We found that guy.
What's that?
Oh.
Some kind of possum fell.
When was that found?
That was found in the last 35 years.
How do you say
olinguito. Olinguito. There he is. He's a cutie.
He is cute.
Got the look of something that could almost be... A primate.
List of megafauna.
it's in the raccoon family.
Ah.
That's a beautiful looking
The Chaco and Peccary. It's a kind of pig that was found.
Oh, yeah.
When was that found? It's a cool kind of pig. Coelacanth, 1938. The Peccary, 1975. Birchall Zebra, 2004.
Are you saying coelacan?
Coelacanth. It's a fish that everybody thought was extinct billions of years ago. Well, millions of years ago, but they found it at a fish market in Indonesia.
At a fish market.
That's all, folks.
that's a cool looking fish.
Malayan tapir. The cassowary was found in 1860. But you want something within the last 30 years.
I want something within our
colossal
lifetime.
Squid, 1925. The giant muntjac was in 1944. I mean, 1994, sorry.
Some of these sound like gibberish.
they're all gibberish.
There's no picture of the giant muntjac.
Jackson, at some point...
There's no picture of the giant muntjac. Really, Jackson?
I'm pretty sure Jackson started making them up, but I'm not sure at what point.
Yeah.
The Kabamani tapir was found in 2013.
Gesundheit.
Tapanali orangutan, 2017.
Oh, boom. Wow. That's got to be the closest to Harry and the Hendersons, Harry, right? Because Harry did.
He truly did.
The problem, though, with some of these is, like, with that orangutan, it presumably already looks a little bit like an orangutan.
Yeah, they just thought it was something else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Hiding in plain sight, which is my favorite way to hide.
Przewalski's horse.
Oh, that is another thick animal.
Yeah, it's chunky.
Holy moly.
Absolutely, if I discover an animal, it's going to be called Adam's Blank.
Literally Adam's Blank, whatever it is.
Look, hey,
It's got a ring to it.
Well, what is the naming convention? What can I not do? Is it like when I'm making a name online, am I not allowed to put in a swear, but otherwise it's fine?
Yeah, I think so.
XX Adam 1991 XX, that's what I'm going to call it.
You got to put Carnivale.
Absolutely.
Carnivale's horse. Ooh.
Komodo dragon, 1910.
Oh, that's more recent than I would have guessed.
Yeah, I know. I remember discovering this as well. It's such a shockingly recent thing.
The cuprey? Wow, that looks like a fake cow.
Yeah, that's two men in a in a cardboard box.
Wow, K-O-U-P-R-E-Y, 1921, I think that was. Look, it's happened.
All right. Well, maybe to wrap up, what we normally do is give the film or the piece of media a score out of bananas.
Yeah.
What do you get? I mean, this video is bananas. What kind of score do you give it? 59 seconds, maybe our shortest film yet.
I give it some blurry bananas rolling their way through the Pacific Northwest forest.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would give you some bananas, but when I sent them, they just mysteriously
this is a museum burying.
Yeah. Hiding the bananas
from us.
The
museum would be so excited to be the ones breaking this story.
Oh my God, Sasquatch. That's what they would always say.
Yeah, what's their agenda?
I have no idea. They've got to hide us because it would change the way we see history for some reason.
The chairman of their board is a Bigfoot.
They can't know we exist and are making sweet money.
Evan, do you have a banana score for this? And maybe even out of how many bananas do you think this is believable?
I was just thinking, just because I've just been watching this on loop, I'm 90% sure that this is just a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have any other explanation. It must
apart
be
apart from it being real. So 10% real or 10% some other fake?
Is it the kind of thing? Because this is important, and this is what your mate Meldrum was saying.
Molly Meldrum.
When he first saw it, his emotional gut reaction was no, because Bigfoot can't exist.
Yeah.
So you can't let that color you, because you got to imagine it in a vacuum. And then decide whether or not you think it's genuine.
I mean, I have to assume that, like, I have to trust the experts.
Some of the experts were in favor of it. Which experts?
The Bigfoot experts, believe.
Are most of the experts in favor or most of them against?
It's actually sort of not equal, but closer to than you'd imagine.
The general consensus is that Bigfoot does not exist.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. On the Bigfoot front, yes. As for the footage, not so much.
The footage exists. I'm going out on a limb.
Well, we can't prove it. Has anyone got any video of the footage?
You're right. It's fake. We're all watching a lie.
So you're basically saying 9 out of 10 bananas saying it's fake. Or one, you're giving it 1 out of 10 bananas. You're giving its authenticity 1 out of 10 bananas.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. I think it's I think it's great, the footage. Like, it's
I've never felt more like I've presented like a film for you, and I'm like, do you want it? And you're like, it's great. It's just not what we're looking for.
It's great. You did a good job, but
it's like I was saying at the start, it's better quality than I expected. It's like it's pretty good look. I still, you know, as much as Planet of the Apes, you know, 1968, 69, whatever it was, you know, the costumes looked pretty, but also those costumes were, I mean, I was just looking at a trailer. They looked, the costumes were designed to be.
They were making them more, they were human.
Yeah, they're like humanoid apes, and they were wearing clothes. Yeah. Most of the, I didn't see any that were wearing clothes. Yeah. So it's like,
they needed to be able to talk and that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah. And also, like, that stuff, you know, that film was shot better than this amateur.
Mm.
Like, this is
a little,
like,
backhander for Gimli there.
I'm sorry, but this is amateurish.
Well, amateur hour.
It's a, you know, it's sort of, so it is a bit blurry and stuff like that. So, like, you know, there might be sort of details of a suit that we're just not really able to make out.
That's fair, yeah.
That's why I'm saying I'm pretty sure, 90% sure, this is probably a suit, even though based on the footage it looks somewhat, you know, it looks pretty convincing
and
what it is.
And it's still the best video that the believers have to put up as proof, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm going to say I want to believe more, which I know is also clouding my mind in a different way, but I feel like, you know, I can't fully explain it, so I got to say, like, 2 bananas out of 7 believable.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good.
I think there's some chance.
Yeah. I think I'm smack bang in the middle. Like, you just need that one bit of evidence either way.
Yeah.
And I'd be convinced.
I mean, it's not impossible. It's similar to things that exist. It's not like it's an alien or something.
I think,
like,
once you break it down to the idea of just, like, a largely uncatalogued ape. Yeah. You remove some of the mystique from it.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, yeah, I guess maybe.
It doesn't have superpowers or anything.
It's just a big monkey.
Yeah.
Well, not actually.
Yeah, well, it's got no tail. You're right. It's an ape.
And you, Adam, where do you sit? You're a bit of a skeptic in the Sans Pants world, aren't you?
I do find myself, very skeptical. I guess when you're right, if you just describe it as like an undiscovered ape, it does make it seem like it is something more plausible. I just find it very unbelievable that even 1,000 of these creatures could be out there in the wild. I know the US is big. I know there's a lot of places to hide and such. But I feel like, especially since so many people are hunting it nowadays, feel like it just seems so implausible that we still have no body.
They're great
so
hiders.
Great at hide and seek. They bury their own bones.
Because they're so big, that's the other thing. You go, a worm has gone undiscovered for so long. No one's looking for the worm.
Where'd that worm go?
But a huge, huge ape man.
Something I was also thinking as well, now, if they're walking upright, so like standing upright, walking upright is like a factor of, or not a factor, but it's like, it's supposed to speak to something of like a level of intelligence. Only creatures of a certain level of intelligence do that because it's necessary for tool use.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So like this creature, like, there's no sophistication to it. We're not finding any evidence of tools.
Right.
That's true. Mm. But I guess on the other hand, maybe it's clever enough to know to avoid us.
Why?
Because we're dangerous and hunting it.
Yeah, but what bodies have we produced? We're not good at hunting it, are we?
No, but I'm just saying that's the argument in the other direction, if they have a level of intelligence, they're using it to stay out of our way. We're certainly quite loud and destroying a lot of their home.
Yeah.
So,
if they are smart, they would be smart to avoid us. The first one that gets found gets cut up real bad.
Oh, yeah, we get them.
If they are real, I hope we never find them, to be honest.
Now, do any of you see any of yourselves in the Bigfoot? In say, in a Bigfoot suit? Or because we are 98 to 99% of our DNA is shared with the chimps.
Bigfoot, yeah.
Bigfoot, I imagine even more.
Yeah, you would have to imagine.
So yeah, I mean, it's we don't get a lot of its personality here, do we?
No, we don't.
No, but it's very casual.
Casual? I think we're all pretty casual guys.
Yeah, but Patty specifically, yeah, quite a bit. I feel like if I was being filmed and I didn't know why I was being filmed, I might look back as well. Like,
yeah, for you.
Yes. What's up?
Is everything
up?
Okay?
Do you need a hand, or I'll keep going.
All right, well, now it comes time for everyone's favorite part of the show, where we get to thank a few Patreons.
Mm. Hell yeah. We get to.
They let it. They allow us to. Right. And the way you can get involved in this, if you go to patreon.com/dogoonpod and you support this show as well as the other shows in the Mini Do Go On podcast network, including Primates, as well as Book Cheater, Book Cheating podcast, and the new podcast, Listen Now, which is a music podcast where we go through back catalogs of rockin' bands. The first one we're going through at the moment is Cold Chisel. It's me and my cousin Sam Tonkin, and it's a real bloody good time.
Get on it.
You don't need to know the band. We'll tell you all you need to know. if you do get involved in that on that Patreon link, you get to have your name read out and tell me your favourite primate or primate fact or whatever you like. This is from Richard Frederick Schuber III. He says, "Hey, Matt. Caveman here," that's what he called himself.
That's great.
"I don't know if I did one of these yet, so I'm going to say that orangutans are probably the coolest ape out there, and humans are the worst primates."
Oh, no.
Whoa.
Why?
He doesn't go into it.
Oh.
He leaves it up to us to decide.
You can't make a claim like that without giving some sort of reasoning.
And he calls himself Caveman as well.
Yeah.
Trying to get as far away from modern-day man as possible.
He's devolving, isn't he? Yeah. Wow. Evan is shook.
He doesn't know what to do.
Can't comprehend someone who does not love Andy from Toy Story.
Thank you so much, Caveman. Also, Dafford Stone, he writes, "Hey, Matt, my favourite primate is the bonobo chimp because they and I have a lot in common, such as greeting friends and family by fucking each other." Whoa!
Okay.
I sort of knew where that was going. Like, family
give you a left hook.
Whoa. Yikes.
Yeah, wow.
Thank you so much, Dafford. This is a safe space.
Good luck. God bless.
Thank you so much for your support. Nate McLean writes, "The eye is literally a nightmare fuel, and I love it. They have gross matted black fur, glowing orange eyes, and they hunt at night. Additionally, in Madagascar, they're known as a symbol of bad luck." Ah.
That makes sense. Mm. If I saw one, I would think you bad luck.
Like a black cat.
Like if I saw one and you turned to me and you're like, bad luck, but like as in seeing it is bad luck.
Is the eye the one with the really long finger?
Yeah.
They got like a really long finger for getting at ants or something.
But they're like close to cute, but
yeah,
it's just a bit off.
Yeah, look at
it's
the
bad.
Fingers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that picture there. That's the perfect picture. You can see they've got like one long finger that they use to try and scoop for ants.
Yeah.
It's like a bat.
Yeah,
what they
it's
look like is a cute animal who's been poorly taxidermied.
That's true.
Oh, look at that photo with the its mouth.
It's screaming.
Every single picture looks like it was taken with such shock.
Like everyone left the flash on.
Thank you for that suggestion, Nate. And finally, Poppy Freeman Curden. Another one of your hyphen mates there, Evan.
Freeman Curden.
That's good.
Yeah, Freeman Curden.
Freeman
it's
Curden.
No Monroe Smith. Obviously, it's a different name, but it is also very good. Poppy writes, "Hi, Matt, and second banana, Evan. My favourite primate is the red ruffed lemur. They're so cute and fluffy and ginger like Matt." I don't know are you going cute and fluffy and ginger like Matt or just ginger like Matt?
Yeah, look, are you getting
Well, there is a bracket. I'm pretty sure it's and just ginger, but...
You can take the cute and fluffy as well. You are
fluffy.
Cute and fluffy, so...
Jackson, stop it.
It is so
That's
fluffy.
All I was fishing for, sure, but...
Look at
this
boy.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I've never seen this one. That's an amazing...
He needs a scratch on the back and face.
Definitely not a scratch right on top of his head, though, because that looks like it would be bad
to touch. Is it just
bald
there?
It's just bald.
That's amazing.
Red rough lemur. What a beautiful...
Wow, that's so cool. We've got George Costanza here.
It does have George Costanza
that's
here.
That's great.
Or, as I would describe that,
Mr. Scrooge hair.
Yeah.
The red ruffed lemur is one of two species in the genus Varicia, the ruffed lemurs. The other is the black and white ruffed lemur. Like all lemurs, it's native to Madagascar. It occurs only in the rainforests of Massaoula in the northeast of the island. It is one of the largest primates of Madagascar with a body length of 53 centimeters. That's specific. And a tail length of 60 centimeters. When it's big, it's a big, beautiful, it's puffy
beefy
tail.
Mm.
It looks like you could really do some dusting with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a weight of 3.3 to 3.6 kilos. It's petite. Yeah. Soft, thick fur is red and black in color and sports a buff or cream-colored spot at the nape, which is a North American.
Yeah, absolutely. If you'll recall.
But a few are known to have a white or pink patch on the back of its limbs or digits and a ring on the base of its tail in a similar color. Beautiful animal.
Great choice.
Do yourself a favor. Look it up.
It's always nice to get a new ape.
I can't believe I'm still getting new ones. Like nearly 80 episodes in. Fantastic suggestion, Poppy. Thank you also to Nate, Dafford, and Richard. That brings us to the end of the episode. People can review us on their apps, I assume, as people have done. Maybe I'll read a couple of examples out here. I'll read them out when they're 5 stars. This one's from Zap Brannigan. 5 stars, 2 opposable thumbs up. Writing, and if you like this, try Matt's other podcast, Jamie James, a podcast exploring Jameses in popular culture from James A to James Z with special guest James Monroe Smith.
Wow.
That's a good idea. My middle name is James, one of my middle names.
What?
That's why, I guess, why you named your gaming show.
Yeah, Jamie James.
Sorry, is this a new segment where we learn a new middle name every week?
Every week, a new middle name.
So my exciting. Middle name's also James.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. James?
No, my middle names are Ronald and Lindsay.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I dropped out there.
Ronnie Lynn.
I've only got the one Benjamin.
Yeah. Oh, Benjamin's a good, strong middle name.
A strong middle name. Mm. I think James is the middle name they gave Australian kids born in the 80s, whose parents forgot to fill anything else in.
Yeah.
David Warnock is also middle name James. Andy Matthews is also middle name.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
Everyone involved in this podcast network has got a middle name James. Here's another one. A bit of light blasphemy in the title. Matt Stewart is podcast Jesus.
All right.
Very light blasphemy.
Where's the blasphemy?
I hear only truth.
Yeah, I didn't.
I hear only gospel.
I'm a little way removed from my Catholic education. Maybe that isn't even blasphemy at all.
Who can tell?
It was stricter back in the 90s. This is from Charlton. And they write, Matt is the ape man in 2001 that throws the bone in the air, and the bone is this podcast. His co-host Evan from the Jamie James Grainy Brain Show can also be heard speaking. Thank you, Charlton.
What an endorsement.
And finally, I think here's one last one from Karen. 5 stars. Love the concept so much. So much fun. Didn't realize there were so many levels to play with. My favorite primate is the gorilla. Don't mess with them. Good advice, Karen. Very good advice. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Please give us a review if you want to. Give us 5 stars. Why not? And maybe I'll read
it
out.
Absolutely, yeah.
Keep it succinct like some of those fantastic ones there as well.
Yeah.
And where can people find you, Jackson and Adam? Carnivale.
If you head to sanspantsradio.com, we do a whole bunch of podcasts there. We got a D&D podcast. We got a podcast on mental health. We got a podcast on AFL football.
We got a podcast that used to be on just a random topic, but has devolved quite a while ago into just us just yelling at each other a lot.
Yeah, so I'm sure you'll find something that
I've been on most of them, or probably a handful.
I think you've been on,
we'd love to get you on all of them.
Yeah, I want to collect them all.
Yeah.
One of them we did, I think I've been on a couple of episodes that were even primate related.
Very possibly.
Yeah, there was one where we talked about which superheroes would be best
as apes.
Yeah, that I think that might have been a plumbing the Death Star episode. Yeah.
And of course, you can also find us on Getting Fruity.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes, we should, because we don't always, we record every week, but we don't always put it out.
Yeah,
we should put it. Should we? Because I've got to go away.
Yeah, we should probably
tomorrow.
Record today.
Let's record one and put it out next week.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, that can be. Yeah.
Getting Fruity with Matt and the boys.
Absolutely. We got to.
It's back.
We got to keep our schedules.
What are we up to? Like episode 200.
200 and something?
I think so. It's like 225.
225.
Yeah, 225. Yeah. That's actually very fortuitous because I did end up bringing, you know, I know I forget a lot, but I brought my fruit today.
Oh, yeah, great. Me too. Yeah.
I always travel with a bowl of fruit.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And Evan, Gaming Game's on hiatus, but people can watch the last, 17 seasons there at gaminggame.com.
There's maybe seven, but we're a bit sort of, I don't know exactly how we separate seasons, but there's seven of them. There's 82 episodes up there, so go check them out. Oh. I'm sure there's a game on there that you would enjoy watching us talk about.
Yes, and people can, if you prefer just a podcast rather than watch, you can podcast it as well. If you search gamey game in your podcast app. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for joining us. Adam Carnevale. I actually want to really try and say it normally. Adam Carnevale.
Okay. Yeah, well done.
But actually, it's still fun.
Yeah,
Adam Carnevale.
I can't wait for the people to be rioting when I ask them to. Oh, no.
What have you done?
Thanks so much for joining us, as always, Evan and Jackson. And anytime. As we always say here at Primates Podcast,
apes to meet you. Stop it. I don't like that.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.